Well, the virus has now killed more than 100 people in China, and new cases have been confirmed around the world.
So you don't want to frighten the American public.
France and South Korea have also got evacuation plans.
But you need to prepare for and assume,
strongly warning Americans to avoid all non-essential travel to China,
that this is going to be a real serious problem.
France, Australia, Canada, the US, Singapore, Cambodia, Vietnam, the list goes on.
Health officials are investigating more than 100 possible cases in the US.
Germany, a man has contracted the virus.
The epidemic is a demon, and we cannot let this demon hide.
Japan, where a bus driver contracted the virus.
Coronavirus has killed more than 100 people there and infected more than 4,500.
We have to prepare for the worst, always, because if you don't and the worst happens.
War Room, Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Live from Fort Apache in our nation's capital, Capitol Hill, the old historic Breitbart Embassy. It's episode 59, War Room Pandemic. Live on the John Frederick Radio Network on AmericasVoice.news, now Dish Channel 219. You can get us on Newsmax TV at 11 o'clock at night, and also FM 99.1 and FM 103.9 in Chicago, and WABC at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So if you want to see the War Room Pandemic, you can see us at 10 and 11, live in the morning show, live at 5 o'clock on WABC, the preeminent talk radio channel in the world. And at night at Newsmax TV at 11 p.m., we'll be putting up on the site everything we've got. Go to hashtag War Room Pandemic. It is Friday, the 20th of March, the year of our Lord, 2020. This is episode 59. I want to thank everybody. We're over 4 million downloads right now, so I want to thank everybody for making this the hottest show in the nation. I should say the second hottest show in the nation. The hottest show in the nation is going to be our first guest we're going to get to. There's been a lot of consternation over the last couple of days. Remember, we've been doing pandemic now since mid-January, and we drive on three verticals: the pandemic itself, the economic crisis that it triggered, both the perturbations of the travel and all that, and the shutdown, and the deeper systemic about the supply chain, both on the medical side and the supply chain on the actual railhead of all manufacturing in China, and how that impacts the world and the United States. And the third, and quite frankly, which will be the worst, is this trigger of this financial crisis, a liquidity crisis and solvency crisis in the world's capital markets that literally led to a meltdown that's wiped out $25 trillion of value in the world's stock markets, both private and public, probably $25 trillion in the bond markets and the credit markets and the derivative markets as they now do a leveraged, basically, meltdown. We'll get to all that. That's what the President of the United States is dealing with. Today, there's been a lot of Daily Beast. There's been Vanity Fair, a bunch of reports out of people who the president has, who have worked with the president, very close to the president, smart people in their areas of expertise that are giving ideas. So we're going to have today in the first hour of the show something very different. We're going to have Eric Bolling. And Eric, people know him from the Fox News days and from his Sinclair broadcasting. But Eric was a guy, I think, from the Chicago Pit. So he's a trader with his own capital. He knows the street better than anybody. This guy's made a ton of money on his own account, understands what we're going through. He's got his own ideas about the economic plan. We're going to have Eric Bolling on later. Steve Cortez, one of the smartest hedge fund guys around. You know him as the Hispanic Advisory Committee, one of the very first people on TV to talk for President Trump. But in his daily life, his real life, he's also a brilliant hedge fund guy. Steve Cortez will be on about his economic ideas, which, by the way, Bolling and Cortez counter some of the experts we've had on this show over the last couple of weeks and some of the people you see on TV that are talking about President Trump's plan. That's where we want to have them on. And we also want to push back on the moronic mainstream media of the Daily Beast and Vanity Fair that sit there. And because if you look at those people's credentials, it's zero, right? It's zero. They're typists. Okay, so we're going to bring on some experts and show you that these guys actually know something. But first, I want to start with a very special individual, Seb Gorka. And Seb is now the host of one of the hottest shows, if not the hottest show in the country, over at Salem Broadcasting, which we used to be on. We love the guys at Salem. And if we could work out the Salem clock, we would love to be back. But Seb, I got to tell you, that clock, that Salem clock is for men only. It's so brutal. Seb is worked with me at Breitbart for many years as one of our editors and top writers. He was renowned as the first guy that really brought up civilizational jihad and this whole concept of jihad. He was a consultant to the FBI and to the Department of Homeland Security for years and years and years. And when we brought him in, he was on the campaign, but when we brought him in on the first couple of days of the transition, I sat him down and said, you know, Seb, And everything's about jihad. We're going to get ISIS. But your job, you're going to come in as a strategist. What you're going to focus on is China. And he goes, okay. And he's become one of the experts, I think, in the last couple of years of really this the unrestricted warfare that China's been running on. So, but Seb, thank you very much for joining us today.
Well, it's an honor and a real pleasure to be on your show. You guys were, I mean, I have to commend you. I can't believe this is, what, episode 59. You guys were out there before anybody else. And you are doing a great service to the nation. And on your first point, I owe you a debt of gratitude, Steve, because, you know, I came into the White House thinking I'm going to just do what I was doing before. But as a deputy assistant to the president, I'm going to do counterterrorism stuff. I'm going to do jihadi stuff and, you know, work out a plan to beat ISIS. But once you get in the building, once you get the clearances, once you read the reports, and once you sit in Steve Bannon's office, you realize we'll defeat ISIS. We'll even defeat, you know, Iran won't be a problem. We'll contain Russia. We'll deal with North Korea. But the only existential threat America faces is China. So you help those scales fall from my eyes, Steve. And now we.
I want to ask you, can we play the Kevin Warsh? I want you to listen to Kevin Warsh, who's one of the most smartest guys. He was the cover bid to be the head of the Federal Reserve under President Trump. He was a shortlist for Secretary of Treasury. One of the most brilliant guys. Listen to Warsh, and I want you to respond.
The U.S. has suffered from the largest liquidity shock since World War II, and the Fed has had to come to wartime footing more quickly than we did in 2008. So I think they're off to a good start, and I think lucky for them it's a Friday.
So Seb, the mainstream media is all over President Trump about this concept of a wartime president. You're one of the best strategists in this country, and quite frankly, one of the most deeply read of world history. Is Warsh right? Are we on war footing like a whole of government, whole of America approach in World War II? And is President Trump a wartime president?
I think what I'm going to say may surprise even you, Steve, but definitely your listeners. Donald Trump was a wartime candidate when he came down those escalators in Trump Tower. He, because he's an outsider, because nobody owns him, not Wall Street, not Big Pharma, not the tobacco industry, not the unions, not China, he is a threat to the establishment, whether it's the GOP rhinos, whether it's the radicalized Democrat Party, or whether it's anybody else who's at war with us. So, you know, let's be very clear here. China has been at war with America for decades. And I don't just mean espionage. I mean political warfare through the Confucian Institute, buying massive, massive propaganda platforms in our daily newspapers, paying for propaganda to be peddled to the American people. The president has been at war the second, you know, he raised his hand on January 20th. And swore his oath to the American people to be the commander-in-chief. So, yes, there's no question about this. This isn't, you know, a time where we're building long-range bombers to deploy into to the Pacific, but we are at war economically, politically, and in the intelligence sphere, and we have been for decades, Steve. And you know that better than anyone.
Seb, I want to jump in on some breaking news here. Steve Mnuchin, Treasury Secretary, just tweeted out, at President Trump's direction, we are moving tax day from April 15th to July 15th. All taxpayers and businesses will have this additional time to file and make payments without interest or penalties. This is massive.
They're listening.
They're listening.
We're going to push it now to Labor Day, like we said, but that's perfect. No revenues to the United States government. Don't need it now. Nobody send a check. Perfect. Keep going, Seb.
Seb, I want to tee up your next question here. So we saw yesterday one of the early news is when it comes to the Financial Times, when it comes to the South China Morning Post, China was out there pounding their chest saying no new cases. 1.4 billion people in the country, no new cases. However, today, the front page of the South China Morning Post, 48 new cases in Hong Kong, the highest single-day spike they have ever had. How can you have zero cases in a country of 1.4 billion and then literally, like basically as part of China, I mean literally and figuratively, as the transfer continues, 48 cases overnight in Hong Kong. Seb?
Very easily. It's the world's biggest communist dictatorship, and they lie through their teeth. You know, I got an unclassified email from the State Department yesterday. It is the longest email I have received. I printed it out. It's 11 pages long. It's the timeline of the real coronavirus, of Wuhan Chinese virus, what happened when. And then it is a listing of all the lies, the lies to the World Health Organization, the evidence the Chinese government destroyed, the people they silenced. So the idea that China has no fatalities, it's garbage, but the mainstream media here in America will peddle it like they've been peddling it for years and years and years. And let's be very clear, what Mike Pompeo is doing, what the president's doing, is on the money. This is the Wuhan virus. This is the Chinese coronavirus.
Seb, I know you've bifurcated, as you and I have talked many times about people like Cardinal Zen, the saint that is the cardinal in Hong Kong, and the underground. You know, there's 100 million Chinese Christians. There's 25 million Catholics. There's the Falun Gong. There's the Tibetan Buddhist. There's all this. It's a separation of the Chinese people. The Chinese people are the most hardworking, decent folks on earth. They're kind of like a 1.2 billion deplorables. It's the Chinese Communist Party. If you were talking to the president this afternoon in the Oval, what would be your two or three things you would tell him strategically you should be focused on against the CCP in what, quite frankly, is an information and economic war that's now a hot war?
Two things. So number one, I would illuminate for the American people through surrogates. This is one of the real weaknesses of the Trump administration. You know it better than anyone else. We don't have enough surrogates. We have some great medical professionals now, like Ambassador Birx and Dr. Fauci, but we need political surrogates out there who are telling the American people, showing them, as well as telling them, just how much of a strategic threat China is. From the fact that we are picking up, and this is now unclassified, we are arresting Chinese agents in the middle of America, stealing crop samples because they are blight-resistant, genetically modified corn samples. That's insane. Do American people know that they are stealing our corn to reverse engineer it? Of course they don't. Secondly, we have to play hardball, Steve. There have to be penalties, and I mean serious penalties, for those companies in America who think that they can do business with the world's biggest dictatorship and get away with it. The idea that Google is facilitating the Chinese Communist Party censorship of information in front of the Chinese people, that is an utter outrage. We have U.S. companies who would prefer to do business with a country that still has labor camps and forced organ harvesting from political prisoners. They'd rather do business with that country than with our own Defense Department. There has to be sanctions for that behavior, and they have to start today, Steve.
Seb, how do people get more access to your radio show? How do they get more access to your Twitter, the always hot Seb Gorka Twitter account? How do they get more access to your writings, your webpage, everything like that? Can you tell us?
Yeah, super simple. So the show is America First. It's across the nation on the Salem Radio Network. It cycles 24/7 at sebgorka.com. That's our website, SEBGORKA, sebgorka.com. And then the Twitter feed is simply Seb Gorka. And then you can download the podcast. You can find it where any podcast is available. And please, you know, spread the word. Salem, you, Steve. You know, these are the sources of reliable information, and we are living inside an information warfare environment. Stop peddling the conspiracy theories, my friends. Rely on those sources that you can trust, because this is a war. And when we come out of this, and we will come out of the Chinese coronavirus threat, China will remain our only strategic level challenger.
And we can't let Seb's side project go unnoticed. 1600, the podcast that he's doing with Boris Epstein, who's
awesome.
Been a guest here on War Room Pandemic and War Room 2020. It's a fun show, lively banter. The back and forth is good. So if you're in a shelter-in-place situation or if you're just working from home, put on Battle for 1600. It's pretty funny. Seb and Boris really do it up.
And if you remember those things called books, you may want to check out The War for America's Soul, which is my new book.
War for America's Soul.
I tell people, you know, this is a good time as ever to pick up one of those old things called books and learn some stuff. So my book, which was inspired in part by Andrew Breitbart's incredible memoir, Righteous Indignation, my new book is The War for America's Soul, and you can get it at Amazon or at my webpage, sebgorka.com.
We're going to have you on to go through one day that book for an hour special. Okay, Seb, thank you. Seb Gorka, an American patriot.
Great.
an American patriot, will return. War and Pandemic from Fort Apache in just a moment.
War Room Pandemic with Stephen K. Bannon.
The epidemic is a demon, and we cannot let this demon hide.
War Room Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
We have Jack Maxey from the War Room. We have Jason Miller, the co-host of 2020. We've now wrapped that show into here. Greg Manns and the team are over in the War Room grinding. Raheem Kassam on injured reserve. This is from Fort Apache, live from Capitol Hill. And by the way, it is not a busy Capitol Hill. We're going to get to all that later. They're working over in the House, in the Congress. But I got to tell you, this is a town that's already kind of in shelter in place, right? It's the traffic you can get in 5 minutes. There's ample parking. You don't see a lot of people walking around. Episode 59, we're on every platform in the world, IRSnexus.org. Go to hashtag War and Pandemic. Also, for all the comments you're giving us throughout the world, we're in Africa, we're in Latin America, we're in Israel, we're in India. Later in the day, it'll be up in Mandarin, subtitled. We're getting tremendous comments from the GNU site, so we want to get all that. The first hour of the show, we're bringing up the hitters. And it was kind of a mocking story in the Daily Beast and the mocking story in the Vanity Fair. And remember, the people who write that are like typists, right? You have Eric Bowling that's run his own fund with his own money, a street guy. We had Seb Gorka, who's actually a very renowned strategist. Now we're going to turn to, and I want to go to breaking news before we get Cortez in here. We got breaking news out of Hong Kong, Jack?
Yes, we've been talking about this idea of a second wave, and Jason mentioned earlier that there were 48 new cases in Hong Kong. Now, the majority of these came from outside of Hong Kong, about 80%. We also see that China has announced that they have no new cases except for 39 imported cases. So Gabriel Ling, who we have referenced many times on the show, he's the advisor to Hong Kong on the pandemic. He had some comments about these new cases arriving in Hong Kong, and I think they should be a cautionary tale for the whole world as we go forward. He said that the city is at the highest risk today since the pandemic started. And he said when one patient passes the virus to two people in the community to form an unknown number of hidden transmission chains, then it is very likely that we will have 400 to 600 cases in the next week or two. And he said that probably 92% of those will be imported, but if they start community spread again, Hong Kong's again in a real problem.
Dr. Gabriel Leung, as you remember, we brought him on the first episode. The second episode show brought him up. He's the SARS hunter, the virus hunter at a Hong Kong university, one of the most renowned guys in the world. He had the study. He still got the study sticking by. He says, look, 60% of the world's population is going to have this before it's over. So we'll get back to Gabriel Leung. I want to play Kevin Warsh to tee up Steve Cortez.
I suspect they all recognize in Congress, at the Treasury, at the Fed, is that the forceful joint action they need to take now is to provide liquidity to all solvent comers before the financial crisis to effectively buy a little bit of time, and so we can see where this goes. There will be a future time where decisions could be made on what industries were particularly harmed. But if we save an industry, if we solve the symptoms, but we don't treat the underlying patient, it really won't be money well spent.
Bring in now Steve Cortez. Everybody knows Steve Cortez as one of the most ardent and smartest defenders of the president. He's head of the Hispanic Advisory Council. He was key on the 2016 campaign. He's really the first guy, I think, from the finance industry that stepped forward for President Trump. He understands populism, economic nationalism, and he's got a major show out in Chicago. I hope they listen to him better than the Chicago people listen to us, because they were all partying the St. Patrick's Day weekend after we were given the warning. But people don't realize, and this, even I'm not even sure the president, because they kind of put people in boxes. Cortez, I'm honored to be his party. He's one of the smartest guys in finance around. He's been an advisor to hedge funds. He's been a trading desk, a guy that really knows what's going on and has his own specific ideas of how we get out of this. And so now I want to bring in Steve Cortez. Steve, thank you for being in the War Room today.
Yeah, of course, Stephen. Yeah, no, that Daily Beast article, I'll say this. They wanted to dismiss me and Eric Bowling as, oh, we're just TV guys. Well, Bowling and I combined have over a half century of Wall Street trading experience, so we're certainly more than just TV guys. But I will say they at least got their facts right about my proposal, which I did make privately to the White House first. It's now public. I wrote it on Real Clear Politics. And my main proposal, well, I should say this, not proposal. My main thrust is this: be big, be bold. This is no time. Make no little plans. I'm channeling Daniel Burnham, the famous Chicago visionary architect. make no little plans. This is a crisis. It's a global crisis. It's time for our wartime president to stand up and take massive fiscal action to save American workers.
Massive fiscal action to Steve Cortez in this situation. We just had Warsh on CNBC this morning, who to me is also one of the most brilliant guys kind of in your category, essentially said the same thing. He said, hey, and this is what I've been arguing when the Citicorp guy went and told the president not a financial crisis. You now have an economic crisis on top of the pandemic. It's triggered a financial crisis. You have both a liquidity and a solvency. I know you and I disagree a little bit about this. A liquidity problem triggering a solvency problem. What is your – when Cortez says big, when Cortez says massive, what does that mean?
Yeah, so listen, three things. And the main one is let Americans keep their money. So what I mean by that, number one, take tax rates to zero for all but the upper bracket. For middle and lower income Americans, immediately effective, tax rates go to zero and stay there indefinitely. My guess is it has to be there probably for the rest of the year. But number two, a lot of people out of work, so that doesn't help them, a 0% tax rate. For those people, I believe we need to double unemployment benefits. They've gone up, but we need to get very serious and much, much bigger in that regard. Third thing, we need to postpone all student loans. I think if we do these three things, but particularly number one, take the tax rate to zero for middle and lower income Americans, that will give people the confidence to again start acting as economic agents of growth in this country. It's hard for me to exaggerate how dire the situation is for working class Americans right now. And what they're talking about on Capitol Hill, tinkering around, it's going to depend on your 2018 taxes. We might give you $1,000 once. We might give it to you twice. That's small ball. We can't play in that arena right now. On top of that, Steve, I'm dismayed that a lot of people who are our ideological allies, a lot of people on the right, are trying to poo-poo these plans and somehow saying that that Austrian economics can get us through this somehow. That's absurd. There is an economic inferno that is starting in this country, and we can't fight it with a garden hose. We need to bring in water cannons. And I'm talking about mass fiscal stimulus to carry us over, because we are going to get through this. That's the good news. I'm not talking about permanent bureaucracies. I'm not talking about new entitlements. I'm saying let Americans keep all of their money. We can afford to borrow right now. This is no time to get religion on the deficit. We can afford to borrow at near 0% interest rates. Now is when it actually makes sense to borrow massively in the credit markets.
Steve, I was following some Twitter commentary last night. Some reporters are diving through this McConnell legislation, this phase three of the stimulus plan. And one of the things that appears to be buried in there is that any company that's taking bailout money, we'll just stick with on the bailout money for now. Steve and I debated this a little bit yesterday. But any company receiving these government funds, specifically talk about industries, the Boeings of the world, people like that, that they can't pay any their CEOs or any of their executives or board members or anyone else more than about $450,000 a year. Want to get your thoughts on that?
Oh, I think it's a great idea. Or if you don't want to put an actual dollar limit on it, say it has to be a multiple of the average worker's salary of the company, right? They can't make more than, say, five times the average worker makes. In addition to that, and I think this is critical, any company who's going to take the assistance of the taxpayer cannot engage in buybacks. And I believe that restriction should last for a long time, if not indefinitely into the future. I happen to believe buybacks should be illegal anyway, regardless of this crisis. But certainly in this crisis, at a time that the American taxpayer, the deplorable, is once again having to shoulder the burden of corporate America. And I know this is different than 2008. This is not a bailout. These companies were not acting irresponsibly. This is an act of God. It's different. But nonetheless, if the deplorable is going to be on the hook to bail out massive corporations, we cannot allow them, once we're growing again, which we will, we cannot allow them to then get back to the business of financial engineering, buybacks of their stock. So that has to, I think that's also crucial to be part of this, not just because it's the right thing to do, but also, Jason, come November, we want to be able to tell the electorate that we did that we protected them when we faced them for re-election.
Real quickly, I want to get into this because the White House does listen to the show, and they particularly listen to you. They're halfway there as far as Mnuchin just announced they're going to no filing until July. What you're saying is quite different. An immediate stimulus and cash infusion into the system that doesn't need anything is just nobody pays. Forget no filing. Nobody pays. That's the immediate stimulus you have from the American people. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Taxes go to zero, except for the very highest brackets. Taxes go to zero right now, today, and they will stay there indefinitely. It's not enough to say you're going to get a check today and maybe you're going to get a check in May. Steve, that's small ball. We've got to think, but make no little plans. We've got to think bigger than that right now. Our country is in absolute crisis economically. We have millions and millions of hardworking people, strivers, American workers who are now out of work and frankly can't get a job. Who's going to hire them at this point while we're effectively in lockdown on a nationwide basis? This is a time, and look, I don't like government. I'm an ardent free market capitalist, but I also believe this. We have an economy to serve a citizenry, not the other way around. Our citizens do not exist as economic agents to serve global or to serve national output. That is not the American construct. We have an economy to serve a citizenry. And this is one of the few times that you're going to hear Steve Cortez advocating for absolutely massive, immediate federal action because we have to save our way of life. I really believe it's that dire.
Steve, real quickly, how do people get to your Twitter feed? And tell quickly, how do people get to the show?
Yes, please. So I'm on Salem Radio every day, 5 to 7 afternoon drive, Chicago time, 560theanswer.com, streams anywhere. And then at Cortez Steve, Cortez with an S on Twitter.
Steve, one other thing we got to get into, our user feedback. Folks or listeners are just absolutely blowing up on this. This news about Richard Burr and Kelly Loeffler, two senators who apparently, if this is accurate, when made financial transactions, sold off a bunch of stocks. You had some pretty pointed commentary on Twitter. Tell us your thoughts on both Burr and Loeffler.
It appears Loeffler has some explanation. Let's see. We need to dig into that. She needs to be thoroughly cross-examined on her explanations. Burr, I've seen no explanations. If the story is as reported, and if he doesn't have a massive explanation, he needs to resign today. Same for Senator Feinstein. If she doesn't have an explanation, if these people were taking the privileged information, all right, the information of the federal government at the highest levels of our national security apparatus, if they were taking that information and rather than making policy decisions, rather than informing the public, they were making private profiteering decisions in their investment accounts, they are despicable people and they have to resign today.
We got to bounce. We're going to be back in a moment.
War Room. Pandemic with Stephen K. Bannon.
The epidemic is a demon, and we cannot let this demon hide.
War Room. Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
This virus is a demon, and we cannot allow this demon to hide, so says President Xi. Donald J. Trump says nothing is inevitable. That means through human action and human agency, we will get through this. You're live in the War Room, War Room Pandemic, episode 59, live in the John Frederick Radio Network on americasvoice.news, now Dish 219 on Newsmax TV, on Nexus throughout the world, IRS throughout the world, FM 99.1 and 103.9 in Chicago, and also over 4 million downloads on our podcast. So we're ubiquitous. Today, a very special show, The Daily Beast and Vanity Fair have decided to go after some of the most prominent people in the Trump movement. And here's what we said. These people are typists at the Vanity Fair and typists at the Daily Beast. They don't really understand the background of some of the individuals. We've had Seb Gorka on, one of the smartest strategists. We had Steve Cortez. And Steve Cortez teed up his segment by saying, hey, in both articles, they miss one point, that Eric Bolling and Steve Cortez have over 50 years of experience. And when I say experience, not Harvard Business School sitting in some cubicle at Goldman Sachs doing financial models. I mean in the pits as traders, betting their own capital, betting their clients' capital. 50 years. And if you're around that long in the business, you know what you're doing. Now, they're now known as prominent spokesmen with TV shows and radio shows and on Fox. And Eric Bolling, our next guest, with America This Week, Eric Bolling's America This Week, a huge hit show over at Sinclair Broadcasting. One of the smartest guys around as a political analyst and understanding. But Cortez and Bolling come at this from understanding real economics with the deck plates of trading pits and what creates value and where money is. And that's why Cortez, with this phase three, Steve cut to the chase the other day. He says, we have to go massive. And you have to go now. The quickest cash infusion is just don't collect any revenues at all, federal government. That's a cash infusion today. You can't think small. If you think small, you're going to get sucked out to sea. And you can tell from the – remember, We started the show in January. Why? We have one vertical. It's a pandemic. The second vertical triggered is an economic crisis. That crisis is both what's happened with the airlines and all that, but deeper, it's the supply chains, both the medical supply chain. This is why you're not going to have any drugs, no mask, no gowns, but deeper, the supply chain, because the globalist project, the railhead of all productions in China, that economic crisis will then trigger a financial crisis. And we said this. The chairman of Citicorp sits in the cabinet room across from President Trump and says 10 days ago, oh, there's no financial crisis. This is a guy whose stock's down like 60 or 70%. We have Warsh on this morning. You have Cortez on this morning. A liquidity crisis is driving a solvency crisis, okay? And the scars of this are going to be with the American people and the people of the world for decades to come. If you're under 50 years old, because of zero interest rates and the destruction of the pension funds and the capital markets, the $25 trillion in equity values have been wiped out. If you're under 50 years old, I'm not here to pat you on the head. I'm here to tell you reality. Here's what the math says. You're going to work every day of your life until the day you die. Okay? And I'm going to get more into that in the second hour show. I now want to
bring Steve.
Well, look, you know, hey, don't bring Bannon in for the blue sky. I'm a guy, I'm a break the glass hard foul guy, but I'm just here to tell you what the reality is. Because once you understand the reality, it's like in 12 o'clock high when Gregory Peck walks in and says, here's the problem we have in this squadron. You guys all think you're going home. You're not going home. This was in 1942. It's based on a true story. You're all dead. And as soon as you realize you're dead, we're going to start making progress to defeat the Nazis. And it worked. That's how the Americans led the bombing squad, the things that destroyed the industrial production of Germany. All those kids thought they're going to the mom and the wives and the girlfriends. He came and said, hey, you're missing the point. You're not going home because we're going to win this thing. And we're going to win it because you've got to understand you're not going home. Right now we have to understand this is a crisis of historic importance. That's why Donald J. Trump is a wartime president. That's why Kevin Warsh, who doesn't light his hair on fire, comes on CNBC today, says, we have wartime footing now at the Fed and the Treasury Department like in World War II. This has to be whole of America. And this is what Cortez and Bowling are saying. And yet the mainstream media, these typists, all these lightweights are going to get blown out, right? Because we're about to face a new reality where you have to follow people who know what they're talking about and are committed to giving you the facts. And the ribbon clerks are all going to get brushed away. So the ribbon clerks go after Cortez and they go after Bowling. And they don't realize. They just see him on Fox and they think they don't understand. These guys get it at a hard level where every day you're weighed and measured by how good your last trade is. And what I admire about Bowling, it's his own capital. So, Eric, I'll now bring you on and let you state your case of what your economic program is.
Hey, Bannon, thank you for the intro. So just very, very quickly, they said the same thing when I said you got to watch the people, not the polls, and Trump was going to be the nominee and the winner. They didn't believe it, but it was the case. So I will qualify this with I see dead people. You know, I see things that most people don't see. And what I see here is I'm seeing and let's be honest, I'm a huge fan of Donald Trump. I'm not a huge fan of what they're doing right now from the economic team. They're using the same tactics that have been tried, tested, and failed in many, many different instances. We talk of the 87 crash. I was there for that. 01 with the World Trade Center. I was there for that. 07, the financial meltdown. They kept trying to throw money at it. Nothing worked. And that's what they're doing right now. Steve, they passed a trillion dollar package. The market fell apart 2,000 points the next day. Think about that for 1 second. What they're doing is they're using good money. They're using Fed money, the Treasury money and tactics, and throwing it at the wrong problem. The problem isn't the banking system. Banking system is fine. It's flush. It's solid. The problem with this one is the consumer has cocooned. We don't know if tomorrow we're going to wake up and there won't be food, water. We're saving money. We're not buying anything. We're not buying anything except toilet paper, water, and food. And that is an economy that's based 70% of our GDP is based on consumer spending, means it's going to shrivel up, and we are risking the whole economy. I've been sending this plan in. I've been putting it on Twitter. I'm sending it to Stephanie Grisham and Hogan. They tell me it's getting to the president. I send it in to the new chief of staff. They said it's going to get to the president. I don't know if it has, Steve, because they're doing things that don't work and won't work. Think about this. Here's the plan. Every household under $200,000, that's 91% of the country, gets an EBT card, a debit card. It's got $2,300 on it, $1,000 for food and personal hygiene $1,000 for health care and personal hygiene, food, health care, and then $200 or $300, depending on what they come up with, in fuel, whether it's gasoline, pay your electric bill, whatever. But the trick here and the difference between this and every other thing that's ever been tested in our modern history, it was tried once, I'll tell you about that, is that this debit card expires in 30 days, which means if you don't spend it, household, it goes away. What are you going to do? You're going to find a way to spend all the money. But that's what we want. We want direct jet fuel injection into our consumer side of the economy, which is everything. Their ideas, tax breaks or, you know, mortgage or tax deferments on your income tax or credit, you know, pay your credit later. That's all BS. That stuff doesn't happen. When you send a household like they want to do right now, send them $1,200. You know what they do? They sit on it. They put it in the bank or they pay off a car loan. That's not injecting it into the economy. One more benefit of my plan. Next month, if 30 days after when this one expires, you can do it again. It costs $230 billion each time President Trump says, yep, another one. It's far cheaper than anything they're doing. It'll go right into the economy. By the way, Steve, it ends up in restaurants, in bars, in Walgreens, in CVS, Target, Walmart, all the places that we're worried about bailing out directly, which won't work. All you're going to do when you give these companies that money, you're going to allow some CEO to say,
Hang on, that's what
I like. I'm going to buy back some of my stock. And that doesn't trickle down.
Here's what I like, and I'm going to turn it over to Jason Miller for a second. Here's what I like about it. It's an immediate – this is what we got to be thinking about. This is Cortez was don't take in any revenues from the government, no taxes. That's immediate cash infusion. What I like about yours, it's a forcing function. It's a forcing function. The 30-day in the card is bread. Forces cash back into the system. It forces cash back into the little guy. I'm going to turn it over to Jason for a second.
Eric, I want to play a quick clip of Hans Nichols on Morning Joe this morning. I want to see if your head hasn't completely exploded by the end of the clip, then I want to get your reaction.
Hunker down. We should get an update at 11:45 as you guys are enumerating. There are clearly some inconsistencies rhetorically and as well as just on what's happening on the ground that the White House hasn't clarified. And then we get to the idea of the spending package and how much stimulus there is going to be. And again, this is more Casey, but this doesn't feel like a split the difference moment. This is a double the difference moment. And I don't know if Americans can have sticker shock anymore, but this number is trending towards the $2 trillion number, not the other way around. And that is remarkable to listen to Senate Republicans talk about that. Guys.
Eric, are you still with us?
I'm here.
Okay, yeah, no, I want to get your reaction.
Honestly, Jason, we're approaching $2 trillion, and I'm a pragmatist here. I'm not a political ideologist. Like this goes against everything in my fiber to suggest that government make direct payments to households. However, we are, and Steve will know this because Steve, you spent time on the street. You know that we are dependent on our consumer spending in this economy, and what we've done when you wrap up a virus with an unknown of a supply chain, and then on top of it, you got the markets who are cratering. You got to spark the consumer back into confidence, or at least having some sort of ability to spend money to save this economy. None of these other tactics are going to work. Buying treasuries is not going to work. Not going to work. Bringing the interest rate down to zero is not going to work. Who in their right mind is going to walk out and buy a house today because the interest rate went down? Nobody. So they got to go in and buy Coke, buy Pepsi Cola in the grocery store. Go buy, I don't know, hand sanitizer, rubbing alcohol, buy water. But get the money back into the economy and get people out spending the money again. That's the only thing that's going to salvage, not deferring a payment on my mortgage or deferring a payment on my taxes this year. That does not work.
Eric, real quickly, we're running out of time, but I got to get – everybody wants to know your thoughts on this. The guys that dumped the stock after the classified briefings, after the inside baseball briefings, what do you think ought to happen to those senators?
So very interesting, and there's two of them. There's Burr and there's also Kelly Loeffler. And I've been on this for a long time, Steve, probably 10 years. I've been talking about we need to close the Stock Act loophole. It actually allows senators and Congress people to trade in front of information that they know that the public doesn't know. Legally, they're in their right to do it. Ethically, they're completely wrong. What we need to do is stop that now. And you know what? Loeffler and Burr should write a bill that closes the Stock Act.
Eric, I want to jump in with some breaking news. Richard Burr.
A little bit. I mean, look, it's all about damage control.
Richard Byrd just tweeted out, I relied solely on public news reports to guide my decisions regarding the sale of stocks on February 13th. Specifically, I closely followed CNBC's daily health and science reporting out of its Asia bureaus at the time. Understanding the assumption could be made in hindsight, however, I this morning spoke with the chairman of the Senate Ethics, asked him to open a complete review. Eric, do you buy that at all?
No, I don't buy that. That's why he sold. He sold it because he had information. But here's the problem, guys. We've given these jerks the ability to do that. We've given them a legal loophole to buy and sell. I mean, it's no difference than XYZ senator saying, I'll sign out this water right to this company and buy the company stock before it's announced at the water right.
Hey, Eric, we got to bounce. I want everybody, give me your Twitter handle. What time's the show? Give everybody all access to Eric Bowling.
Yeah, at Eric Bowling, one word, on Twitter. The show is Sinclair Broadcast. You just check a local listing. We have 191 stations around the country.
You're an American patriot, and you're a very smart, tough guy from the street. Really appreciate you coming on today. Eric Bowling, suck on that, Vanity Fair and Daily Beast. suck on that, okay? That's Cortez and Bowling just blew you guys up. We're going to be back in the war room in a second.
Pandemic with Stephen K. Bannon.
The epidemic is a demon, and we cannot let this demon hide.
War Room Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Episode 59. Welcome back to Capitol Hill, our nation's capital. We're live. We got Jack Maxey, Jason Miller. We're now going to Mike Bowen, who is going to join us, is the guy with the Kimberly Clark mask plant N95s down in Texas, in Dallas. They're fully occupied this morning, so we told him go back to work. We need those masks. We're going to read emails that he's been sending us of guys all over the country. If you guys have news, just jump in here. I want to talk about the stock. Look, this is how greasy it is. It was Peter Schweitzer at Government Accountability, of which I was honored to be the chairman at the time. It was our project, and it came out in the book, Throw Them All Out. It was Schweitzer that identified off a Stanford study we talked about last night, where a guy at Stanford, a professor at Stanford Business School, had done an analysis, because you've got to report all your trades. Right, they have to report all their trades, the guys on Capitol Hill. He did an analysis and showed that the guys on Capitol Hill would have been in the top 20% of hedge fund managers. And hedge fund managers, you got to understand, of those billions, you get a 2% administrative fee carry, and then you get 20% of the ups. It's real money, okay? These guys are in the top 20%. And people go, how did these Schmendricks on Capitol Hill be in the top 20%? Then he found out. They can trade on material, non-public information. When I was at Goldman Sachs in the M&A department, they're taking in Wall Street at that time, they were taking the young girls working in the word processing department. SEC would come and perp walk them out with their boyfriends, making $2,000 on some options trade out of the money they'd heard and typing the documents for the merger deals, the law firms. And these guys up here are making tons. Schweitzer shows it. They passed the Stock Act, okay? They passed the Stock Act, which stops trading on material, non-public information they hear. Then these greaseballs work for years behind the scenes to take – this is what Bowling's talking about. They gutted the Stock Act, so now they can do this again. It's very simple with Senator Burr. If you dump the stocks afterwards – I think you got to go, right? I'm not a guy who says guys got to resign, but I think you got to do a gut check. It's all about the time on the thing. Hey, if you had said you'd been listening to Pandemic, we know a lot of guys that dumped it just off what we were saying on the show because people realized, hey, this thing's going to be bad back in January and February. It should have been a tell for everybody when the president of the United States stopped all the traffic from China and put people in quarantine. That's what we call a tell, right? That means that this thing is kind of big and you should start focusing on it. Everybody's kind of James Brown. But if Burr actually got classified information and briefings on this and then sold afterwards, that's not good.
One interesting thing is we will definitely see how the Senate works because Burr has actually now requested a Senate Ethics Committee hearing on his behavior. So let's see how well they police themselves.
Oh, we actually got Mike Bowen on the line. He can actually join us. So what, Jack, why don't you – Mike, why don't you, Mike is from Prestige Ameritech. These are the patriots we identified very early on in one of the first episodes of the show that have the ability, American-made masks. They had been destroyed by the globalization project and everything shipping to China. But because of Mike Bowen and his partners, right, turning this thing around, they're now up, I think, to full production. Jack, why don't you take it over and get some questions in here.
Hey, listen, Mike Bowen is one of the huge fan, all of our fans love Mike because they say that his testimony was really their wake-up call. And Mike, you are just a fabulous American. And Mike shared with me last night some emails from other great Americans around the country. And you hear my voice is even cracking me. I'm going to try and read some of these, and maybe Mike will try and read some too. But it should be a real inspiration for the average
Let's get an
American.
Update. Mike, give us an update on where we stand, because we keep hearing the mainstream media is all over that no doctors have masks, that they're cutting up their undershirts and using them as masks. What's the status of your plant down there in Texas? Somehow we can't get to Mike Bowen, so maybe he didn't come through. My Abel production guys, let's cut the line off so he can't hear it.
Two quick breaking news items. I just want to know, Steve, you called this the other day. Kevin Hassett returning to the White House. That's now being reported in The Hill. Mitch McConnell saying that he wants the agreement in principle for Phase 3 done by tonight. Wants to begin the process of moving the bill by Saturday, passage by Monday. Then finally, as we predicted a couple days ago, they're definitely going to be closing the southern border. President Trump and AMLO are going to be discussing border travel restrictions today.
Here's the thing. Let's go to Kevin for a second. Kevin was the first chairman of the Economic Advisors. That's the CEA. He's a very prominent. You know, he knows all the hedge fund guys. He's incredibly. And listen, he's not a Peter Navarro, Steve Bannon economist. This guy is classic Austrian economics, a real free market guy, kind of what I call the Larry Kudlow, Steve Moore, Steve Forbes faction. That faction. But here's what Kevin is, and he was the guy that really came to our side about China and tariffs. We had to bring him over, but eventually he was won over. Here's why, and it's so important for the audience out there to understand this. Kevin is pragmatic, and Kevin's all about analytics and data. One of the things I think the White House needs right now, because, look, they're working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in the highest pressure you could possibly work under, okay? You need to augment, and I've been saying this, you need to augment with really smart people who bring analytics and the ability to do high-level analytics. This will only help the president. The other thing is, I know President Trump really admires Kevin, and so he'll be a major.
Good on TV, really good,
fabulous
on TV.
And you have to be able to go out there and explain this. I think Navarro. Listen, I think Mark Short and I disagree with a lot of stuff, but Mark was fabulous on the campaign. I've worked with Mark for 10 years. One of the Koch guys. I think Mark every day, and I've said this. He ought to go and see, particularly the business channels. You know, maybe CNN, but I think it's most important to talk to the global capital markets, right, and to all the businesses. And they're watching Bloomberg and CNBC and Maria Bartiromo on Fox. Those three are important. And Mark is a – here's what I like about Mark. He's a very calming influence, and he lays out stuff in a basic way that you can understand it. I think you need – you know, it was Seb, I think, it said about the surrogates. That's why I think you need to be getting back out there. I think Kevin's got to be getting back. Navarro needs to do a lot more. Mark Short needs to do a lot more. We need to bring these heavies that can go and kind of explain things to people and break things down.
I think the other thing, too, with Kevin is he very much reminds me of another person who's good on the economy. He's gotten a little bumpy on Trump sometimes. Arthur Brooks, who used to run is AEI.
But Arthur and I were very close and then became a hater when I backed Trump.
No, he's
brilliant.
No, that's what I'm saying. As far as a communicator, put things in very colloquial, very folksy terms.
Arthur's brilliant.
He's one of the best speakers out there.
He's one of the top two or three, the best.
Yeah,
I think.
And that's Kevin has a little bit of that.
Yeah,
big
time.
A little bit of
big
kind
time.
Of the aw shucks. Well,
big
hey,
time.
Here's a historical thought, but the world's implications for you and your family. And he does it in such a kind of a calm delivery.
Hashtag War Room Pandemic. And by the way, I want to hear your comments about how loud our music is when it comes in. We're in the War Room. We're going to come back on Capitol Hill, live from Fort Apache. Jack Maxey, Stephen K. Bannon. We're either going to get Mike Bowen on the phone or we're going to read some emails. Next hour, get a couple other surprise guests, too. Be back in a moment.